I want to apologize in advance that this shiur is not maybe as prepared as some of the other shiurim that I've given. I certainly try to be very well prepared, but didn't really realize that I was giving this shiur until fairly recently, and didn't start preparing until about a half hour ago. So I guess in a certain sense I've been preparing my whole life. But the topic tonight is going to be Derech HaLimud. The methodology of learning Torah. The reason I chose this topic is that, well, first of all, I thought I could prepare it in a half hour and at least do a decent job. Also because I'm sure for many of you, this summer you're hearing shiurim in a different style than you've probably ever heard before, than you probably have in yeshivas. It's certainly a different style than is often celebrated and admired in the yeshiva world. And I just want to explain like what it is that I'm trying to do and why it is that I learn the way I do. And, you know, you take it or leave it, obviously, but I think it's good that at least you have exposure to this style of learning that maybe you haven't had exposure to in the past. When I was in Keren B'Yavna, I was in Rav Aaron Silver's shiur for a year and a half, and I loved it. I loved everything about the shiur. And I remember one of the things that me and my friends would hawk the most about, more than anything else, was Derech HaLimud. Like the things that guys would be tired in the morning because they were up till 3 in the morning. There's not much to do in Keren B'Yavna. So like up till 3 in the morning arguing about and hawking about is because they were arguing about, oh, my Rebbe's right. No, my Rebbe's right. My Rebbe's stronger than your Rebbe. Well, my Rebbe's taller than your Rebbe. You know, except it's all about Derech HaLimud. My Rebbe's smarter. My Rebbe knows how to learn better. You're never going to get a Derech HaLimud. Your Derech HaLimud is all messed up. You're never going to know anything. And it was really just, you know, warm and fuzzy and a nice feeling all around. But part of that is just because yeshiva guys aren't doing anything else. You're sitting and learning, so what else is there to hawk about other than if you're not going to hawk in learning and you're learning 14 hours a day, so maybe you need a little break. So you got to hawk outside of learning, so but you don't really have much other place to go than discussions about learning. And I remember it sort of, you know, it was consuming sometimes, and it was intimidating sometimes, and sometimes it caused me to stop and to think, oh my gosh, is everything I'm doing wrong? You know, I remember going to Rav Silver one saying, like, oh, Rebbe, I think we're all wrong. And he's like, no, you got it right. It's okay. We're doing the right thing. So I just wanted to, like, try to explain a perspective. And this is not, you know, I am highly suspicious of anybody who will ever tell you that they have a monopoly on the MS. That, you know, they know the truth and no one else knows the truth and everyone else is wrong. I'd be very suspicious of anyone who makes absolute statements along those lines. I'd be very suspicious of anyone who tells you, you will never know how to learn unless you have me. That's a very controlling kind of statement. There are rabbeim that do that and say things like that. That is not a healthy thing to say. I would run the other way if anyone ever told me that. That one of my talmidim was deciding what yeshiva to go to in Eretz Yisrael. One of the rabbeim said, "You're never going to become anything unless you have me as a rebbe." I said, "That is one yeshiva you cross off the list now. You cannot go to yeshiva where that's what the selling point is." Baruch Hashem, he went to a different yeshiva and he's learning very, very nicely. And he did become something. He actually was able to learn quite well. So I don't think, I'm certainly not going to tell you, this is the way, the only way, it's for everybody, it's the only way anyone ever accomplished anything in learning is by learning this way. I'm just trying to explain to you what we're doing over the course of the summer. And, you know, all the, not just the Gemara Shiurim, where the 10-minute Halacha Shiurim come from, all that stuff, you know, all the, whatever, you know, however many Shiurim that you've heard me give over the years, what the idea is, and, you know, it's sort of also a response, at least Talad asked me, maybe we could discuss how to prepare a Shiur. So it's sort of along the same lines, you know, how to prepare a Shiur and how to learn. I don't really divide the two, because, I mean, for better or for worse, all my learning is preparing Shiurim, essentially, nowadays. I'm zochah to be able to give a lot of shiurim, so, you know, my learning is my preparing of shiurim, so I don't really separate the two from each other, and I don't think you should separate the two from each other either, and we'll get to that. So let's start. The goals of learning is, it's important to know what you're trying to accomplish when you learn. So The Rav Shulchan Aruch has a very interesting Hilchas Talmud Torah. In general, the Shulchan Aruch Rav tries to go, I'll say there, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, you know, within a certain framework, but he felt like the Hilchas Talmud Torah of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch was all off, and it was like out of order, and it wasn't properly organized, so he sort of rewrote Hilchas Talmud Torah. So in Hilchas Talmud, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, so in Hilchas Talmud Torah, he describes, and Rav Moshe mentions this in his tshuva as well, that there is not only a mitzvah of limud haTorah, every spare moment that a person has, where you have to learn Torah whenever you have a free moment, and of course the definition of a free moment is where it gets interesting, but everyone agrees, kuli alma lo pligi, that when you have a free moment, the question is, you know, how much time should be allotted to secular studies and to exercise and to hanging out with family and to, you know, hanging out with friends, and, you know, what do we call a free moment, because a person has to be a socially and physically healthy person also, but everyone agrees that when you have free time beyond what the human needs are, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah every second of the day. But in addition to that, there's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, that a person is supposed to know Torah. And that's, Rav Shechter often comments, a person has an obligation to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And he always says, people think it's so hard to know Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not so difficult to know Kol HaTorah Kula, Rav Shechter often remarks. Kol HaTorah Kula could fit on one bookshelf. It doesn't mean you have to know every book that was ever published in Torah learning. It means you have to know Shas, Shulchan Aruch, you know, the Rambam, Midrashim, you know, Tanakh. It doesn't involve that much. It could fit all on one bookshelf. That's what he likes to say. It always reminds me, whenever he says that, whenever he says, it's not so hard, it reminds me of the Gemara, when it says, Ma Hashem Shol Meimach Kiyum Liro, the Gemara says, Atu Yerushmai Milsa Zutrasihi. What is it such a small thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ma Hashem Shalom Eimach, what does God ask from you already? All he wants is Yerushmai. So the Gemara says, it's such a small thing, versus in. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, Milsa Zutrasihi. By Moshe Rabbeinu, for someone like that, it's a small thing. So Rav Shechter describes, what's a big deal? You know, Kol HaTorah Kula. So maybe for Rav Shechter, it's not a big deal. For most of us, it is a big deal. But if it's a chiyuv, it's probably something most of us are capable of doing. It probably is something you don't have to be a genius to do. And this, you know, all of the recent research bears out the idea that what we used to think is based on inborn talent, that a person is either smart or not, and he's talented in learning or he's not talented in learning, is what Chazal knew a long time ago, that's very overrated. And that really amelus is the key, that how much effort a person puts in. Now, a person can be, let's say, for example, I'm not particularly artistic, so I never got involved in trying to draw things because I didn't have a natural skill for it. But it's been proven that if someone has the right teacher and puts in the right time, anyone, pretty much, as long as they have working wrists, anyone could be artistic and could draw very, very well, much better than average. And the same is true with most areas of advancement, most areas of education, of intellectual accomplishment. It's a matter of how much work you put in. You may be so far behind that you're going to need to become a meshugel davrecha to focus only on that for hours and hours and hours and plug and plug and plug, but everyone could become an expert on some level. So there is a mitzvah of yediyas haTorah, and when a person has a yediyas haTorah, he has a knowledge of broad knowledge of Torah, so then he's accomplishing what he's meant to do as a Jew. The Gemara says that's the highest level for a Jew to reach, is Talmud Chacham. Afilu mamzer Talmud Chacham kodem l'chayin gadol am ha'aretz. The Mishnah tells us that even a Mamzer Talmud Chacham takes precedence over a Kohen Gadol Am HaAretz. Why? Kohen Gadol's most loftiest position, holiest man, goes to the holiest place in the world, then he's the only one that's allowed in there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah, but a Talmud Chacham's better than him. Even a Mamzer Talmud Chacham, even if he's the lowest level of Yichus. And if there's anything that highlights that a person's efforts are going to ultimately decide who he is, much more than his inborn, than what he was born as, it's that line, that a mamzer, Talmud Chacham, mamzer is born with the deck stacked against him. He's a mamzer. And yet, he becomes a Talmud Chacham, he's more chashuv than the Kohen Gadol. So that is something a person has the ability to do, and in order to do that, a person needs to be well-rounded in learning. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Le'olam yishalish adam shnosav, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. A person is supposed to be well-rounded. You're supposed to know Mikra, which is Tanakh, you're supposed to know Mishnah, and you're supposed to know Talmud. So a person shouldn't dedicate his whole life to learning only one segment of Torah. If a person wants to be the world's greatest Tanakh expert, but he's never going to learn Torah Shebal Peh, he's not really going to know Tanakh either. It all complements each other. It all goes together. A person sometimes says, I only want to know the Yeshiva Shem Masechtas. If you know only the Yeshiva Shem Masechtas, you never opened up a Seder Taros, Mishnayos, and Kachim and Taros, so then you're not going to be a well-rounded Jew. A well-rounded Jew knows everything, tries to get a yediyah, a working knowledge of everything. Not all at once. Sometimes people think in yeshivas, okay, I have 2 years in yeshiva, so I better come out of this with shas. We just heard Rav Reuven Targum last night. When I was in Keren Biavna, rumor had it, I don't know if it's true, I never asked him, that when he was Shana Aleph in Keren Biavna, he learned all of shas. That he went through the entire Shas his first year, and then he switched to Gush. But that he learned through all of Shas in Keren Biavna, with Sansino or something. I don't know if that's Sansino is like pre-art scroll, whatever. I'll explain some other time. But the I don't know if that's true or not. It's certainly not for everybody. That is not what your goal. In Mirtz Hashem, you should be zochet to live at Me'eva Esrim. You should always be learning your whole life, as long as you're on a program where you're developing a well-rounded learning schedule, and you're advancing each day, so that ultimately you'll see Yediyas HaTorah happens to build up more quickly than you think. So one goal of learning is Yediyas HaTorah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to know Torah. So Talmud Torah Kenet Kulam. It's a critically important mitzvah. So for the mitzvah Shabbat, to know Torah, to be a well-rounded Jew. Second goal of learning is to be an inspired Jew. That a person needs chizik, a person needs inspiration. We have a lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. There's a lot of details in how to serve Hashem properly, and there are a lot of nisyonos in serving Hashem properly. And sometimes a person will have difficulty passing those nisyonos. And being inspired helps one pass those nisyonos. So a person has to become inspired. And one way of being inspired, for me, it was always the most effective way of being inspired, is through Talmud Torah. There are people that believe that one is not best inspired by Talmud Torah, that the better way to inspire is with a kumzitz or with this or with that, different things. It's possible that those are also good forms of inspiration, but our inspiration should be grounded in Shmiras HaMitzvos, in the Tzivoy Hashem. And if our inspiration is grounded in Tzivoy Hashem, and our inspiration is as close as the nearest Sefer, well, then we'll be in good shape. If we learn to be inspired by Torah, how does one get inspired by Torah? So obviously, if we had the answer to that question, and we could just inject it into every Jew, it would be a really wonderful thing. But libi omerli, that when a person is good at something, when a person feels like he's accomplishing at something, he feels inspired. If a person, let's say, LaMashal, you're playing in a basketball league, and you had the best game of your life that took your team to the championship, so you feel inspired by basketball. Why? Because you just did really well at it. You don't feel particularly inspired when you're the last place team and you lose. One of my sons was telling me, my league team is terrible this year, and camp is so much worse when your league team is terrible. Why is it worse? You're playing all the same sports, you're doing all the same things, but you feel inspired by something that you're good at. So a person has to find a method of learning that he's going to feel accomplished, and that it's not going to be lying to himself, that he's actually going to be accomplishing. And when you're accomplishing the learning, that will help to inspire you. Now, certainly there are people that are more inspired by the Chassidus and by other things, and that should never become your Ikar Limud. Your Ikar Limud still has to be the meat and potatoes of Torah, but whatever helps to inspire you, whatever talks to your neshama, is very helpful. Moshe Weinberger once pointed out, if you don't like Chassidus, that's fine. Learn Nefesh HaChayim. Learn something that inspires, something that will talk to the neshama. And for some people, as hard as it is to believe, for some people, learning, Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim is inspiring. Because if you feel like you're getting it and you feel like it's clicking, so that's inspiring as well. And a third goal, and this isn't really like a third goal, this is more like what the mitzvah is in Talmud Torah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the first paragraph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he describes being Mishalish Nosov, dividing up your time into three parts, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, he defines each category. And he says, Mikra, well, that's easy. That's Torah Shebichsav. Mishnah is what he calls Torah Shebalpeh, We have all sorts of halachas. Rav Meir said this, Rav Yehuda said that, Beis Shammai said it, Beis Hillel said that. All sorts of halachas. Rav, Shmuel, just halachas that people said. He doesn't limit it to Mishnayis. Torah Shebaal Peh, the basic text of Torah Shebaal Peh. And then, how does he define Talmud? Vishlish yavin v'yaskil achriz davar me'reshisav, v'yotzi davar midavar. A person should be able to follow a progression to arrive at conclusions based on earlier evidence, to derive things from given facts, v'yadame davar ledavar, to know how to compare things, how to group things, how to categorize things. Rav Shachter often describes being in a Salvechik Shir where you felt like when you're in learning sometimes, you just see like a lot of facts and a lot of information and you're like a jungle and you have no organization in the jungle. Everything's just all over the place and you don't know what to make of what. And all of a sudden Rav Salvechik would come and he'd categorize things. He'd say, okay, there are two dinim over here. There's this din and there's that din. And you have to put everything in those categories. And then all of a sudden it's clarity and you see and you get a tfisa and you understand what the sugya is about. So you damn it, double W, you should know how to group things, how to compare things to each other, how to put things in different groups, v'yavin b'midosh ha-Torah n'drashus b'en, and to understand the Torah, the midosh ha-Torah n'drashus b'en, the methodologies of learning Torah, of deriving Torah Shebaal Peh from Torah Shebaksav, until ad sheyeda heichu ikra midos, until you know how these midos work, v'heich yotzi ha-aser v'hamuter, and to be able to arrive at what is aser, what is muter. Meaning, if you open up a sefer that discusses what is ostensibly a halachic issue, and I don't just mean you open up a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I don't just mean you open up a Mishra Bruna, I don't just mean you open up a Gemara Brachos or a Gemara Shabbos, I mean you open up a Gemara Baba Kama. You open up a sugya that is essentially a non-agadita sugya, a halachic sugya, or a chumish for that matter. And you're reading the Pesukim and Chumash, the goal is to close the sefer once you know what's usher, what's mutter. That's what the Rambam says. You're supposed to follow the progression, be medama milsa le milsa, compare things, learn things, categorize things, follow it along, and then know at the end of the day what's usher, what's mutter. I once spoke to Rav Shachter when I started teaching Chumash in DRS many years ago. I have since stopped teaching Chumash, but when I was teaching Chumash, I discussed with Rav Shachter what the best way to teach Chumash is, or what he thought like the mistakes that people make is. He said, one of the big mistakes that people make is they think that the best way to teach Chumash is read a pasuk and then go through 12 mefarshim on the pasuk. So you can know the Chizkuni says this, and the Ibn Ezra says this, and this was a, and 11 out of the 12 are not how we pask in the halacha anyway. Which is, it never even occurred to me to learn Chumash, you know, thinking about how we paskin la halacha. And he's like, why would you need to know 11, you know, 12 different interpretations when 11 of them are not how we paskin la halacha? Learn the basic mefarshim al chumash and zone in on those that we paskin la halacha, that we paskin, that we paskin. So I said to him at the time, I said, what do you think about the following idea? Let's say I used to teach chumash first semester, we were supposed to teach chumash bereshis to freshmen. So I said, I teach 4 days a week. So what if on Monday, we just give a summary of the parsha. We go through the basic parsha, basic outline of the parsha. Then on Tuesday, we'll take a small section of Pesukim from the Parsha, and we'll do what's called Parshanut. You know, the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra, what was bothering about how they account for each word in the Pasuk, just to see the beauty of how every letter and every word is accounted for. Then on Wednesday, we'll take a separate section of that Parsha, and we'll do La Halacha. And we'll show how that section goes la halacha. And then on Thursday, we'll take another section of the parsha and we'll learn it al pi musr, al pi drush and musr, to show the beauty of how life instructions can be gleaned from chumash. And it won't be like a continuous pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. Each day is a new topic, so to speak. But each time, you're also getting something. There's a certain structure to that. He thought it was a wonderful idea. He thought that was a great idea. I did it for a number of years. I don't know if the Talmidim loved it so much. I loved it. I thought it was a good idea. But his idea was that the Sukhya Shmaitza Aliba de Hilcha says something, even in learning of Chumash, that's supposed to be the goal of learning. So as you might be able to tell, one of the things I try to do when I learn a Sukhya, and I'm not the paradigm or the example of, you know, how to do this, because I certainly don't have the time to, or never really dedicated the years and years and years that it takes to really become expert in all areas of halacha and to do this properly. But, you know, as like a like a little kid trying to imitate his father, wearing the oversized hat and the oversized jacket. So like I'm trying to sort of imitate those who really know how to do it. But so that it's hard for me to give you a flavor of this Derech HaLimud when I'm not really it. I'm sort of like imitating it. But, be that as it may, I'll try to describe it anyway. So first thing to know is that this whole Derech HaLimud thing, whenever you get into this hack about Derech HaLimud, it's overrated. Don't get into the hack. It's not worth wasting your time arguing about it. Listen more than you talk in general in life. If people have something valuable to say, you'll be able to sift out what's valuable, what's not, without fighting over it all the time. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once said that people spend so much time talking about how to learn that they never actually learn. So it's important to actually learn, to actually know something, instead of learning a Derech HaLimud, actually learn Torah. That might be even more important than learning a Derech HaLimud. I certainly endured my whole life hearing, you're never going to get a Derech HaLimud, you're going to end up in, one Rebbe saying, you're going to end up in Rav Schechter's Mickey Mouse Shir, and you're going to, that Mickey Mouse Shir produced Rashi Yeshiva of, many yeshivas throughout the world, and, whatever, it's hard to even respond to something so stupid. But don't waste your time with things like that. You should focus on learning, on accomplishing and learning. So how do you learn the sugya alibi de hilchasa? So first of all, your friend is the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. You should certainly become familiar with it. And each sugya you learn, look for the little letters that tell you where the sugya is quoted in the Rambam. Look at the major Rishonim. And the Rav Shach and all the other Gedolim write this in their letters, that the way one is supposed to learn is you don't have to read every single Rishon, every single Achron that ever existed. There's a reason that the Rush is the Rush. The Rashba is the Rashba, and the Tosfos Chachmei Italia, Provincia Anglia, whatever, are, not the Rush, the Rashba, and the, it's important to focus on the major Rishonim. I know it's the style in certain places to, to find every single thing that there is on the sugya and feel like you have a better grasp of the sugya when you find every single thing that there is. But, Rav Soloveitchik certainly never taught that way, and most of the great Rosh Yeshiva never learned that way. They didn't have all the stuff. They had the basic Rishonim. You learn through the basic Rishonim. You don't have to know every single Achron on a sugya, but you should know those Rishonim that just clarify the sugya for you. You should learn every Tosfos, the Rashi, the Tosfos, the Rush, the Ran, the Rambam, the Rif, and work your way from there. You have that as a broad base of Rishonim, and then you look at Rashba, Ritva, Ramban, one or the other. You don't have to look at all three necessarily all the time. Most of the time they say the same thing. So you look around at what the what the basic Rishonim have to say, and you'll get an idea of the basic approaches to the sugya. Again, not the yeshivish thing to do, but the next step is then to carry it forward. The way to carry it forward is not to just skip straight down to, whatever Rosh Yeshiva gave shir in the next town over in Israel, 5 years ago, and wrote up a sefer. The next stop is to learn the Torah Beis Yosef, to see how this is going to play out lahalacha. The Beis Yosef takes everything in the Rishonim and he organizes it. And he says, this is what the Rambam says, this is what the Rif says, this is what the... And he quotes other Rishonim as well, the Ravya and the Manig, different Rishonim that may have what to say. And you see how he organizes the sugya, and you already get the sense from the Beis Yosef where he's going to be heading in Shulchan Aruch. And you'll learn the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the Beis Yosef to see where the Ramah is going to be heading when you get to the Shulchan Aruch. And then you open up a Shulchan Aruch and you see how it plays out in Shulchan Aruch, and then you'll see. If you were to try to learn Halacha by just pulling a Shulchan Aruch off the shelf and opening it up, you think like the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Shach, and the Taz, the biggest mechadshim in the world, that everything you say is a great Chiddush. It's like, where do they get that from? How do they know that? How do they read it in? All they're doing is, the Shulchan Aruch was a kitzur of what he wrote in Beis Yosef. So he wrote it, if you look in the Akdamot of Shulchan Aruch, it says he wrote it as like a quick review sefer. Once you learn Torah Beis Yosef, so you should be able to quickly chaz it over by running through the Shulchan Aruch. That's why many Gedolim in their Tzavos, I think, write that you should learn Shulchan Aruch, all of Shulchan Aruch, like every 30 days or so. Like all of Shulchan Aruch. How could one possibly do that? Because they didn't have any of the Nosei Kelim. It was like a small book. It wasn't, it was just a basic chazara of everything he already learned in Torah Beis Yosef. So all the Nosei Kelim did is, once they realized that everyone was learning the Shulchan Aruch, so for the most part, they just added back what it said in the Beis Yosef. And they'd add in a, you know, a psak halacha or a comment, a question, but mostly they're just really adding back what it already said in the Beis Yosef. And that's a great way of chazara also, that you learn, you saw it in the Rush, in the Rush and the Ran, and now you see it in the Beis Yosef again, and then you see it in the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosi Kelim that remind you what it said in all those Rishonim. So that's a good way to build chazara just even into the building up of the sugya. Now, Rav Ovadia writes and Rav Vosner wrote that the famous story of the Chazon Ish. And when the Chazon Ish was Bachur, he used to learn this way. He used to learn Torah Beis Yosef and try to take each sugya and Masugi Shmaitza Livdi Hilchasa. And everyone made fun of him in yeshiva. They told him, you're never going to be able to say a shir. You're never going to be able to accomplish anything in learning. And Rav Ovadia writes and Rav Vosner writes, so the Chazon Ish became the Chazon Ish, and all those other guys became all those other guys. But the Chazon Ish became the Chazon Ish. And that's, one shouldn't be embarrassed to learn this way. It's also, you don't have to be a genius to learn this way. You just have to be organized. You just have to be disciplined to continue and to follow it through. You should try to cover ground. A person shouldn't spend his whole life on one daf of Gemara. There are explanations post facto. You know, the Rashi Yeshiva of many of the yeshivas will explain why it is, because the truth is, historically speaking, before the last 80 years or so, historically speaking, no one ever did this thing where they learned like five blot in his man. That was like, that would be scandalous. That would be terrible. No one would ever learn Torah. They never did that. This is a new thing. It's a new shtick. It's a new shtick from the last several decades. So where did it come from? So there are explanations that this generation needs it, that they're more empowered by the, you know, by the minutia and by the lumdus and whatever. Just realize, you know, that's not the way anyone ever learned. That's not the way any of the Gedolei Yisrael throughout any of the generations ever learned. If it was, then, you know, you'd have a Perush HaRashba on the first four blot of Yevamos, and, you know, and that's it. And you wouldn't have anything else, because who learns more than the first four blot? Like that's not the way anybody ever learned. It's important to cover ground. Rav Shach writes in his letters that he doesn't believe that one should have a Bekiyah Seder and an Iyun Seder. You should have a learning Seder. You should learn. And you should learn to understand, to clarify, to get a tefisa of the sugya. Now, I would just add the caveat that it may be that while you're in yeshiva, that it's valuable to have the Bekiyah Seder and the Iyun Seder, but lifelong, you want to just learn. You want to have a way that you sit down and you learn through a sugya, and not to decide, oh, am I doing this Bekiyah or am I doing this Be'iyun? In yeshiva, there may be some value in it, because in order to teach you the ins and outs of lamdas and how to organize shitos and how to work through rishonim before you're so fluent in them and read them through so easily, so it's helpful to take it in much smaller chunks. Yet at the same time, if you know nothing about the masechta that you're learning because you've only been focused on that little bit in the morning seder, any svara you give is going to be wrong, because it's going to be against the Gemara 5 blot later. So there's value in the Bekiyah to get a hekif of the masechta that you're learning, so at least you know like what's out there. At least you know what the basic topics that are discussed in the Masechta are, what the basic concepts of the Masechta are. So it makes sense in yeshiva a little bit to have such a thing. And, you know, it's not crazy. You know, it's not the way I did it in yeshiva, but that's, you know, there are people far, 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 far greater than me who learned the way the yeshivas told them to learn. Rav Stav and Karen Viavna used to say that if you want to become a lawyer, you go to law school, and they tell you exactly which books to study for 3 years. And after 3 years, if you study them properly, exactly the way they told you to study them, you take an exam and you're a lawyer. And he said, if you want to be a doctor, you go to medical school, you study the exact books they tell you to study, exactly how they tell you to study them for 4 years. 4 years later, you're a doctor. You go to yeshiva, you study the exact books they tell you to study, exactly the way they tell you to study them. And after 5 years in yeshiva, you're an amaretz. That's the way that Rav Stav used to say, that it's important for a person to think, you know, to think about what works for him and not just go along with the flow. But again, there may be some value to the Bekiyus and the Iyun Seder at this stage, but that's not the goal. The goal in life is not to have one Seder where I know it, but I don't actually cover any ground, so I know very little, and one Seder where I know nothing, but a lot of nothing. You know, the Brisker Rav, they said once the Talmidim wanted to introduce him to a guy who had a photographic memory. Super duper genius, they said. So the Brisker Rav sat him down, they spoke and learning, and he was talking about here and there, whatever. The guy left and the Talmidim said, "No, what did you think?" He said, "It's unbelievable. I never met someone who's an Amoritz in all of Shas." You know, he knew nothing about everything. He was, it's wild. So it's important to have that balance, to really understand what you're learning. But understanding doesn't mean to sit for 3 weeks on one word in Rashba. That doesn't mean, I don't think that's what anyone means by understanding. Understanding means how to organize the shitos. Okay, the Rashba, the Rishba say that way, the Ram says that way, the Rashi and Tosfos say that way. Okay, let's see what the Rav Rishonim say. What are they arguing about? What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? How did this one read the Gemara? How did that one read the Gemara? You know, just basic, don't get fancy. Just basic. Don't try to be a genius. Even if everyone told you your whole life how smart you are, you don't have to be the world's greatest Rosh Hashiva and write a Sefer tomorrow. It's okay. Just try to organize like an idiot would try to organize information. You don't have to be a genius. Just try to organize the information. Don't feel dejected if after a 3-hour Seder of trying to organize the information, you cover 10, 15 lines of Gemara. That 10, 15 lines adds up. If you have three-hour Siddharma a day in yeshiva, it will add up a lot. Yeah.
Isn't there an idea with that? Like just to learn stuff, like to shape your mind better, just like to get like DB and stuff, like just to think about stuff, like or like people like for blasphemy, like they don't have notes, like they just think about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that like shaping your mind for like ever, like a deep way of thinking, as opposed to like, because I'm going to cover this, and this, but then let's say I have like a question like this, like how. It's hard to put stuff together in the long run if all you do is just try to build information based on.
So again, I'm not trying to say that you should be Rav Avadia Yosef and just pile information. Rav Avadia Yosef didn't just pile information either, but that's a misconception. But they should just, you know, pile information. But I think there's something called overanalyzing also. And, you know, if I'm talking about using your brain to figure out what are the Rishonim basically arguing about. You know, there should be some lumdus involved. You should be able to categorize. You know, there are two dinim in play over here. There's this and there's that. There's, you know, there are two different sources here. There's different. How does this one read the Gemara? How does that one read the Gemara? That plays an important role, but not to sit like that for 3 weeks on a single word. I don't think that's healthy. Again, I'm not telling you what's right. I'm just telling you what I do and what I've been mekabel from my rebbeim to do. I'm not telling you what's right. I assure you, I'm 1,000% certain that if Blachman was sitting here, he would squash me like a bug and tell you that ignore everything I just told you, and that, you know, there's a real way to learn, and then there's the way Leibowitz learns, and he only learns the way he does because he was never in my shir. You know, I assure you that would happen, and maybe he's right, but I'm just presenting what my rebbeim taught me. Vishinantam, the Gemara Kedushin Darshan, that it should be mechudadim beficha. You should try to learn it in a way that you know what you are talking about. One of the things in some of the more lamda shiurim, sometimes you talk to the guys that just came out of a lamda shashir and you say, you know, how was shiur today? And they'll say, oh, it was awesome. What did Rebbe say? It was just awesome. You know, like that's not learning. Learning is vishinanta. That you should mechudadim beficha. You should know what you learned today. You should be able to. Rabbi Razin is a master at this. When Rabbi Razin gives shir, he always makes sure at the end of the shir, summarize. Okay, what did we do today? We did four things. This, and like in 3 minutes, he summarizes everything. That's a very valuable tool to be able to come out with that at the end. You should also learn in a way, and that's. In order to accomplish that, I think there are two keys in order to accomplish that, to accomplish mechudad and beficha. First of all, chazara, and that cannot be emphasized enough, that you're not going to know things well unless you review them over and over again. And that takes the most discipline. It's challenging. Therefore, it's often best if you could build chazara into your learning also, not just into your learning schedule, but even in the way that you learn. That's the beauty of learning Tor Beis Yosef, is because very often when you're learning Beis Yosef, you're chazaring over what you just saw in the other Rishonim, and then when you learn Shulchan Aruch Nosekel, you're chazaring over again. So each step, okay, let's chazar over. This Rishon said that Rishon said that. Beis Yosef quoted them, now the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way. And now we see that the Pesach Tshuva is really being noted that way, right? And you can, at each step, you can go back and chazar over. But chazar is one critical key to achieving mechudad v'ficha. The other critical key is organization. There are people that can spend the same amount of time in learning, have the same level of intelligence, the same IQ, And one person will accomplish a lot more than the other person because he's just an organized thinker. He knows how to take notes and to, you know, just write outlines and boxes and just make everything clear, flow charts, just see how the sugya plays out. And if you're able to do that, it will organize things in your mind visually. For me personally, it's outlines. If I don't have an outline, I'm lost. Like when I see my outline, I see, okay, the introduction, goals of learning, how to accomplish it, you know, like Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, most common mistakes, what works, you know, that kind of thing. If I don't have that, then I'm lost. But whether it's outlines, flowcharts, organization is critical. And that's what I was mentioning to you before with Rav Soloveitchik. I think that of all of the ways that Rav Soloveitchik impacted the modern Orthodox community, I think one of the most important and least spoken about is that his derech halimud, his ability to organize, clarify, explain things in a clear way, bred a generation of Talmidim who speak clearly, who teach clearly, and who teach people how to think clearly. I sometimes talk to people much smarter than me, spent much more time in learning in the yeshivish world, and they're just all over the place because they didn't have the zechus of hearing from Rav Soloveitchik or from Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. I think that may have been one of his greatest contributions to the modern Orthodox world, is that he gave us the ability to think in a clear and organized way. So that's the first key in order to... Those are the two keys in order to achieve Vishinanta Mechudam V'Ficha. It's also important, Limud HaTorah is Limud Al Menas L'Lamed. Everyone should become a Rebbe. And what I mean by that is not that everyone should go into Chinuch. I don't think everyone should go into Chinuch. I think a select few should go into Chinuch. But everyone should become a Rebbe, because everyone has an obligation to be a Rebbe to your own children. You should try to be a Rebbe to your chaverim. You should give shiurim in your communities. And that's not going to happen out of nowhere. Meaning if one day you were just learning and learning and learning, and then one day you say, oh, maybe I'll say over epis shtikl tayr. No one's going to understand what you're talking about. And you might not understand what you're talking about. Rav Parnas, in his hesped for the Rav, said that he never appreciated the Rav's shiur until he actually had to start giving shiur. And then, like, he realized that he has to understand things and in a much clearer way. And he resorted back to what he heard from Rav Soloveitchik to understand it in a clear way. So don't wait. Don't wait till you're actually giving shiurim in the community. Prepare as if you're giving a shiur. Prepare each sugya as if you're giving a shiur. Or if someone were to ask you, what did you learn today? You could say, oh, I did this sugya, and this is what we discussed about the sugya today. This was the basic machlokas in the Rishonim about the sugya. You should be able to present it, make it presentable. Present it to your chavrusa. Maybe you have chaburas in yeshiva. I think one of the great things Rav Reish does, I don't know if he still does it, but in Shalvim he used to have guys, what is it, a zug, right? He used to, everyone would have to say a zug. Do they still do that? Rav Reish used to do it also, I think, that everyone would have to prepare their own shiur, and they'd have to say a thing. Okay, so if the yeshiva does it, great. If the yeshiva doesn't do it, so do it amongst yourselves, amongst chaverim. Be prepared to teach Torah, and everything you learn, you should be able to teach. If you don't know well enough to teach it, then you didn't learn it well enough. And realize, Torah is for everybody. Torah is something, whatever profession you want to go into, you should be able to give shiurim, and you should be able to teach Torah. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kol Yisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah, everyone's obligated in Talmud Torah, Bein Ani, Bein Ashir, Bein Shalim, Begufa, Bein Bal Yisurin, Bein Bachur, Bein Shoyin, Zakin, Gadol, Shetashash, Kocho, no matter who you are, what life has handed you, you have an obligation to learn Torah. No matter what profession you're in, Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, says the Rambam, Mayim Chot Ve'etzim, Mayim Shoah Ve'mayim. There are people who did all sorts of menial tasks. And, you know, that's the beauty of Torah. They became Talmidei Chachamim. It's also very important to get yourself a Rebbe. Not only for Limud HaTorah, but also for Hashkafas HaTorah. To have people that you respect, that you admire, that you look up to. And that can guide you in your learning. It's important to have a Mesorah in learning. About how to learn, how to put together a sugya, how to think about things. It's very helpful to have that, and in general in life, it's good to have a Rebbe. Don't be afraid to learn from others. Ezu chacham alobin mikol adam. Even if you decide, okay, my derech in learning is going to be, let's say, the mashal I'm in. I don't know. I fell in love with Rav Nussbacher's derech halimud. So that's the way I'm always going to learn. So don't be afraid to hear a shir from someone who maybe is a little different. If the yeshiva has a shir from Rav Shlomo Fisher and he says shir differently than Rav Nussbaum, it's okay. You could learn from that too. You'll hear from that too. You should still be confident in your own way of learning, but it's good to have a heck if it's good to see what other people are doing. And there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of value in being well-rounded and hearing how other people present things. Some of the most common mistakes for people who try to learn a Liba d'Hilchasa is sometimes people try to learn a Liba d'Hilchasa and therefore think that Lamdus is like the enemy. Lamdus is not the enemy. Lamdus is our friend. In fact, one could argue that you're not really learning halacha well unless there's a role of lamdus in the halacha. Because the way memory works, people don't remember random facts. The worst way to learn halacha is to learn it from a kitzur book. You're never going to know anything because it's just a bunch of random facts that are not connected to each other. So when you build a sugya and you have logic and there's something that gets your mind going, then you're going to be able to rebuild it in your mind and you have the construct to be able to remember what the rules were, how you formulated those rules, and that's what Lamdus is really all about. Lamdus also involves being able to dissect and to spot all of the different issues that come up. That's the famous story with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was at a chasana, I think they say once, and one of the other rabbanim was telling him that, you know, this whole lamdus thing is overrated. You should just know how to paskan halacha without any lamdus. Reb Chaim said, you can't paskan halacha without any lamdus. You'll never be able to spot all the issues. So the guy said, why not? Test me, try me. So Reb Chaim said, okay, you have two people that are cooking. A non-Jew had a piece of meat of unknown size fly out of his pot and land into a Jewish person's pot. Of meat, and you know that you had rove in the Jewish person's pot, connected the non-Jewish person, the non-kosher meat that fell in. What's the halacha? So the guy said, well, that's easy. Min b'mino is batal b'rov on a daraisa level. You only need shishim midrabanan, savik drabanan l'kula. You're not sure if you have shishim or not l'kula. So Chaim said, yeah, but there was no malicha done on that meat, so you only have the isser of meat of nevela, which would be min b'mino. You also have the isser of dam, which is min b'sheino mino, and therefore you would need shishim on a daraisa level. So the other rav said, I didn't think of that. You're right. There is an isser of dam there, so it's a safek daraisa l'chumra. So you have to be machmir. So Reb Chaim says, but many rishonim hold that dam that's cooked is only a derabana. So he said, you're right, I didn't think of that. Savik drabanan lekula. So Reb Chaim said, yeah, but the animal is a nevela, and dam nevela is not only asur mishum dam, it's asur mishum nevela. And once you cook nevela, it's still nevela. It's still, you cook dam, it may not be dam midaraisa. You cook nevela, it's still nevela midaraisa. So it's still min b'shein amino. The dam nevela is asur mishum nevela also. So there's tvei dinim in the dam nevela. So it should still be daraisa. So the other rabbi said, no, you're right. Okay, so daraisa l'chamra, go l'chamra. So Chaim said, yeah. But the Tosfos Sachem Daf Chavbe says that blood is not asur mishum nevela. That all the other parts of the animal may be asur mishum nevela. But according to Tosfos, dam is not mishum nevela. So you're right. Okay, I go back to Lekula, and the story goes on with a few more steps. You know that he went, some versions of Chaim then pointed out that the animal is a treifa, then the blood is also that's yotzim in a treifa, so it's also on the daraisa level. Whatever the story. But the point is that you have to be able to think in order to be able to identify all of the issues. So lamdus is certainly not the enemy. Lamdus is our friend. Another common mistake that people make, just to finish up over here, is sometimes people stop short. They learn the Gemara and a couple of basic Rishonim and don't follow through. They don't follow through how it gets down to the halacha. You should try to trace our whole Masorah. Don't the Torah didn't stop in the 12th century. You know, trace the Masorah down, and that will allow you to not have to split your halacha learning from your Gemara learning. What I find is that people don't get much out of their halacha learning when it's not part of learning a sugya. You know, how do I prepare a 10-minute halacha shir? I take a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Before I look at it in Shulchan Aruch, I go back to the Torah Beis Yosef, the Gemara, find the Gemara based on the Beis Yosef, and go through the Torah Beis Yosef, the halacha, what the poskim say, and then you just work down the sugya. That's how you learn halacha. You don't learn halacha by opening up, Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn's latest book and saying, I'll read this and then I'll know the halacha. If you need to look something up quick and you need to know what the modern day poskim say, very valuable, wonderful. You want to know what the halacha really is. You want to really learn halacha. You got to learn it through. So don't stop short when you learn Gemara, and don't start late when you learn halacha. Start early. Start with the Gemara. People spend a little too much time on minutia. I think that's also a mistake that people make. It bothers Rav Shechter very much that people spend so much time on. You know, if you don't understand what the Ramban is saying, look in the Rashba. He probably says the same thing, and then you know, you'll figure it out from there. If you don't understand what the what Tosfos is saying, look in the Tosfos Arush and see if they say something similar and they add a word or two. It will be mashed into the picture a lot of times. Another mistake that people make when they learn Ali B'Dilch says that they think that they need to know every Achron whoever wrote a Tshuva Sefer. That if I don't know everything that the you know Tshuvas Be'er Moshe and Betzalah Chachma and Lahoros Nasan and Yaskel Avdi and you know everything they ever said, well then I don't really understand the sugya. You understand this? If you made it through to the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, you probably have a pretty good hekif of the sugya. It's nice, you know. It's good to read through things later, to read through Achronim later, and make sure that you're on the same page. You know, that's very valuable. These kinds of books never start with this kind of book, with like these kids are starting with these, but always finish with it. You know, once you've learned through a sugya really well, so go back and look it over and see if you got it. See what points of information you're missing. A lot of times they'll have things that you missed that you could be mashed them. So always use the kitzer books after you learned the sugya, not before you learned the sugya. Certainly not as a substitute for learning the sugya. So again, the keys to take out. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you want to learn something Ali B'Dilch, you got to start with the Gemara, you have to be organized, you have to chazer, you have to move, you have to cover ground, you have to have a Rebbe, you have to recognize the role of Lamdus in learning, and be able to organize all the Rishonim with a little bit of an understanding of the Lamdus behind it. And we should all be zochet to learn Hashem's Torah, to be constantly inspired by Hashem's Torah, and to gain a great Yediyas HaTorah, to know Kol HaTorah Kulah. Thank you.